This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Limsu Ann. So before the break, we were talking about WHO just declaring COVID-19 a pandemic and some of the things that you should keep in mind and what exactly this means. And now on to our second story. Since 2012, the Semai Orang Asli community in Ulu Geruntum, Gopeng, have been protesting against a hydroelectric project that was mooted by the previous Barisan National Administration. And according to news reports, the project started in 2012 with BN approving the construction of 25 mini dams across the state. And in 2013, the construction of another 6 dams were given the nod. And altogether, these 31 dams would cost a total of 2.92 billion ringgit.
An article in the Malay Mail reported that the then Perak government had inked an agreement with Perak Hydro Renewable Energy Corporation, Senjian Berhad, for the construction of the mini hydro power plant. So the project involves building these 31 mini dams along 3 rivers, and this includes Sungai Kampar. And so the villagers from the Semai Orang Asli community had hoped that the new state government under Pakatan Harapan, who had came into power in 2018, that they would scrap the hydroelectric project since it was mooted by the previous Barisan National Administration. But the PH state government said that they were bound by the agreement and that the project would have to continue. So they were quoted as saying they could not simply do away or dishonour an agreement that had already been made, albeit by the previous administration.
So back in April of 2018, a group of 35 Orang Asli settlers from the villages of Ulu Geruntum filed a suit against the federal government, the Perak state government and 4 others. That included the Perak Hydro Renewable Energy Corporation, Senin Ran Berhad, at the Ipoh High Court over the project. And they sought several declarations and injunctions from the High Court to protect their ancestral land and to stop the defendants or their agents from further encroaching on that land. The Semai villagers have said that work from the project had already damaged ancestral grave sites and destroyed farms and orchards.
And so the court case is ongoing at the Ipoh High Court, where the status of the Orang Asli's ancestral land is being disputed by the Perak government. But on Monday, that's the 10th of March, things came to a head when contractors armed with chainsaws and riding tractors turned up at the proposed site for the mini hydro dams, apparently to tear down 9 huts built there by the Orang Asli villagers. And according to a news report in the Malaysian Insight, members of the Semai tribe had to set up a blockade at the entrance leading to the huts on Sunday, where their families are staying. So this was after they discovered the contractors had started laying construction materials nearby last week.
And the news report quoted Orang Asli villager Wasona as saying that 8 to 10 contractors accompanied by policemen turned up at the village on Monday morning wanting to remove the Semai community's huts. And when they refused the contractors' entry, the Orang Asli leaders were then told to go to the Gopeng police station to discuss the situation.
So Wasona went on to say that at the police station, the villagers were warned that they would be arrested if they kept resisting the project since it had been approved by the state government. But Wasona, who has been fighting to save her family and village from destruction, also said that the Semai are staying put and will continue their blockade and stop anyone from encroaching on their land.
So earlier today, I got in touch with Roz Hussein. She's a university academic who is friends with the affected Semai community in Ulu Geruntum. Roz has been working with like-minded friends to bring awareness to this case and has been sharing what she's seen and heard from the Orang Asli themselves. I started off by asking her to give us the backstory to all of this and to explain how the Semai Orang Asli are being affected by this proposed mini hydroelectric dam project.
Well, Ulu Geruntum is where they live, and they have been living there for centuries. The people have been occupying Ulu Geruntum way even before the British were around. So everything that happens in Ulu Geruntum affects their lives. They are dependent on the river for their water and their food. They used to fish there. Their ancestors had planted lots and lots of trees from way back. And if you get to know them, they're very happy to show you which tree. They can actually name every tree, every durian tree, every pathai tree, and every tree in the area. Their ancestors planted it. So they are reliant on everything from the jungle there. They're the guardians of the forest around that entire area. So why is it that the Semai can name every tree in their area. It's because culturally, their tradition is when a person dies, they bury that person in the land where they were born, in the area they were born, and they plant a tree. So they don't use like what I guess urban modern people have tombstones. To them, trees are their tombstones. So every tree literally is an ancestor to them.
And the mini hydroelectric dam, what will it do to you know, this sort of heritage, this land that they live in?
So I'm not an expert, but I'm going to describe what was informed to me. So according to the people who are running this mini hydroelectric dam, they call it a mini hydroelectric dam as opposed to a regular dam, because a traditional dam, you take the river and you block the river and it becomes a lake. And at the location where you block that river, where the lake is, you put a hydroelectric facility there. But a mini hydroelectric dam is some different type of technology. What they do is they remove the river entirely. They channel the entire river into a massive pipe. So there is no more river. If you are at the surface of the earth where the slope of the mountain is, there is no more river. All the water from the river goes into this pipe. And the pipe then goes down the mountain. I don't know how long. There's some distance calculation. And in that pipe, the hydroelectric equipment is running inside that pipe. And then at the end of the pipe, I don't know the length of it, but it looks pretty massive from the pictures that I've seen, the drawings that I've been informed. It takes up a stretch of the mountain. And then they eventually return the water at the base of the mountain. Now, in theory, yeah, it doesn't disturb the people who live at the base of the mountain, but what about the people and the plants and the trees and the animals and every living creature that has been relying on the water of this river for centuries, for millennia? Think about the health of the forest and the flora and fauna and the humans who are reliant on this water. The water is gone for that stretch of the hydroelectric dam. And in the meanwhile, while building this pipe, the pipe itself may be small, but to put this pipe up and to put the whole facility up, it's no different than a major construction. So we are now seeing huge, big machinery going up the mountain on little tiny roads that were only designed for a kanchil.
So were the Samai people ever consulted prior to the signing of this agreement between the state government and the developer? Or how did the communities come to find out about this project?
Well, I will relay the story based on the people who informed me. The Kampong people, some of them, they went up to their fruit orchard to tend to their fruit one day. And suddenly, when they went up, they saw all the bones, the skeletons, being pushed aside. And so they kind of panicked and they weren't sure what was going on. So they went back to the village and kind of told everybody else, you know, that there's this massive thing happening. So there was kind of pandemonium, and the villagers didn't know what to do. They saw massive tracts of land and they could see that a tractor had come up the mountain, not through the road, but on the backside of the mountain, and literally cut a new road, not a proper road, but a dirt road for the heavy machinery to go up the mountain. So they kind of went down the mountain and, you know, to cut a long story short, they tried to find out what's going on. But that's how the village people found out about what's going on, from the perspective of the village people. Now, that was several years ago. And since then, there have been more than, you know, there have been so many police reports going on. And they actually went through a first round of court case. So it turns out that the people who did this claim that they were given full permission and a license by the state government to do this project, that it's all legal and everything. And that they claim that the developers had already compensated whoever it is that they thought were the people in charge of giving permission. So this is where the big question mark comes in. And then, you know, this is, again, several years ago, and things kept getting heated up. And, you know, it's one person says this, another person says that. But in the midst of that, we had like elections and the government changed. And so then it becomes, oh, we can't help you because this is what the previous government did. And then the new government came. And then again, we can't help you because, you know, and now again, it's changed now just recently in the last 1 week. So meanwhile, the project still goes on and decimation is still happening. And the latest is that, you know, just 2 days ago, they were rudely, the people who are trying so hard to just keep going on with their lives and not disturbing anyone, just quietly trying to live there. You know, people came with chainsaws, and they came with chainsaws and the police. They actually came with police. And so imagine if you're a village person who doesn't really know what the big boys are doing. And they just know that their house, their home, and their livelihood is at stake. And now they're being chased out of the only place that they know is home. Mm. So that's where they are right now.
So this was on Monday, right? Which you mentioned that contractors with chainsaws and were riding tractors. They just turned up at Ulu Gruntum. Can you elaborate on what happened?
Okay, I was not there. And how I happen to know all of this is because there are people who've made friends with the Orang Asli through the years, and they are desperate for help. So I personally, I'm not involved with any NGO, just myself and another friend. We're good friends with the Orang Asli, personal friends, and they send messages to us whenever something happens. So I got a whole bunch of pictures from a friend of mine, a lady who actually lives up there. And they were all in a panic when this was happening. So there are videos that were shot and there were, you could hear some conversations in the video. From what I gather, the developers have been increasing the pressure that they're putting on the villagers in the past weeks. I know over Christmas, I received some pictures and videos showing that despite the developers promising the previous government elected representative that they would not do anything over the Christmas and New Year's break. But I received on Christmas Eve a message from my friend saying that they were bombing. They could hear the bombs. They were bombing the rocks. The blast could be heard. And then when they went up to look at it, they saw the broken rocks. This was Christmas Eve. And the pressure has been mounting since then. So now it's already March the 12th. So a few days ago, you know, after weeks and weeks of the developer bringing more and more materials to the site, it's kind of dangerous to have little kids running around and then big tractors coming with steel and concrete and big things that they just put there on site. It's very dangerous for the kids to be there. And this is their home, you know, this is where they live. And then when somebody comes with the chainsaw, I think that's like the last straw. So you can imagine, you know, people like myself and my friends, when we get these messages and the pictures, all we can do is to advise them, you know, have patience. The lawyers are trying to help you with a court case. And we give them support with moral support by saying, take as many pictures, you know, and don't argue back, don't fight back, don't get in trouble. Because, you know, in the end, like on Monday, imagine even the police came with the people with the chainsaw. So if that were you, how would you feel? It's like now you can't even go to the police for help.
So the thing is, in 2018, 35 Orang Asli settlers from the Ulu Gruntum village, they did file a suit against the federal government, the Perak state government and four others, right, including Perak Hydro Renewable Energy Corporation at the Ipoh High Court about this project. What can you tell us about this ongoing court case?
So that's the key word. It's ongoing. I mean, it's been delayed, postponed. I don't know how many times. I've only started being involved with the court case to help them recently. But from what I can tell is it's ongoing and it keeps getting delayed because the defendants, the people who are being called to court, the federal government, the state government, and the developers, they have not done their proper paperwork. I mean, I was there at the last hearing a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, the Orang Asli had filed in court months and months and months ago saying, you know, if this is true, if what you're doing is legal and correct, where are your documents? But even on the morning of the court hearing, you know, I asked the lawyers from the Orang Asli side, and I said, so have you even seen what the other side has submitted? And they said they just put it in yesterday evening, and we are looking at it for the first time this morning, and that was the morning of the court hearing. So how can the court case go forward when the people like the state government and the federal government and the developers don't even put their paperwork in? So we have not seen any documents from their side until that morning.
Mm. So what is the current situation as it stands?
So the court is doing their due diligence, following procedures, from what I can see, but it seems like it's just taking forever. So because the last hearing, the documents were only shown the morning of the hearing itself. So in the end, the judge had to say, well, we're going to have to adjourn and reconvene at another date because now we have to give everyone time to look at the documents. So that's where we are now. It just keeps getting pushed further and further. Meanwhile, the developer continues to encroach on the Orang Asli's homes, lives, and they just simply walk into the compound of where the Orang Asli live and just reverse their truck and just dump stuff right next to the person's house. And so what happened on Monday was the Orang Asli last week or the previous weeks, they got tired of these trucks just reversing into their homes. And so they put like a little bit of a barricade up to say, you know, you cannot reverse your vehicle into my backyard. And what happened was then these chainsaw people came and said, you need to take this down. Otherwise, we're going to chainsaw your gate. Mm. So, you know, it's wrong. I mean, if anyone did this in, you know, PJ someplace, it would be all over the news. But because it's up in the mountain, nobody seems to know or care about it, even though they've been trying very hard to get the news out.
So you just heard from Ross Hussein, an academic who is friends with the members of the Semai community in Ulu Gerundom, who is working to bring more awareness to this ongoing case.
Yes, and the Semai community's lives are being affected by the construction of these hydro dams. We hope to speak to Orang Asli villager Wasona in the coming weeks to hear her story directly, and we'll keep giving you updates on the situation as it progresses. Mm-hmm. So that is all the time we have for this, but you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We will be back after a quick break on the Daily Digest BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.